God, we trust you today. God, we put all of our faith in you in whatever circumstance we may be facing, God. We put our trust in you, God. I pray that we would have faith, God, in that we would truly worship you in spirit and in truth, and that it wouldn't just end today, that we would stir up the faith that's inside of us, God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Hey, you may have a seat, but let's give it up for our worship team while you do that. Man, that was awesome. I loved every minute of that. These guys are just, I love it. Thank you, guys. Really quickly here, we're going to start with some announcements, and then we will get into our sermon. So, first and foremost, we were supposed to have pizza with the pastor today. That's not going to happen. We didn't, not a ton of people signed up, so we're going to move that to a different date when it makes more sense for people. So if you were planning on that and you didn't sign up, sorry, it's not going to happen anyway. So another couple of things here for the month of August, we're going to be taking some time off of our foundations class on Sunday mornings, and then the Wednesday night Bible study is going to take a little bit of a break just to give those of us who teach those classes a little bit of a just break from all that it takes to prepare to teach those lessons and things like that. So the month of July, we're going to take off of Wednesday night Bible study, and we're going to take off of the Sunday morning foundations class. So if you attend those classes, thank you so much. And if you don't, guess what? You've got 5 weeks in July to prepare to start attending those classes, okay? We would love to see you come out to our Bible study on Wednesday nights. We just dove into the book of Genesis, and if you're like, oh, the book of Genesis, we've all read the book of Genesis. Let me just tell you, there's always something new to learn, okay? And I promise you that, and we've already seen that in the first 3 weeks of our study of the book of Genesis, okay? So we'd love to see you at our Bible study on Wednesday nights starting again in August. We will take a break in July. Now, here is the big thing, okay? August 2nd, we are partnering with an amazing ministry called Moms on Target and another church here in the area, Milheim Baptist Church, and we are doing a back-to-school drive, and we're trying to make this thing big for the community, right? And we only want to do what God wants us to do, but we want to bless the community. We've got some people volunteering to give haircuts. We're going to give away school supplies, brand new, fresh in the pack, hate that I have to say that, socks and underwear. But we're going to do this on August 2nd, and we're going to try to really just bless our community. It's really a great opportunity. So we're asking for donations for backpacks, school supplies, again, brand new socks and underwear, anything that you could give. We have a list. It's not in the worship guide today, but we do have a packing list, I believe, at the Connect counter, and we've been posting it on social. So if you follow us on social media, the list is there as well. We are asking for just to give above and beyond for this thing, because we want to be able to bless as many kids, as many families as humanly possible. Now, maybe you say, you know what? I don't have time to go shopping. Cool. You can donate money and we'll shop for you. Okay, we'll do that for you. I just volunteered somebody on my team to go shopping for you. I don't know who it is, but they'll do it, okay? The point is that we really want to bless our community. We want to be a light to this community. We don't just want to be a building that people drive by. We want to be a group of people that people come to when they need help. Why? So that we can be Jesus to people that might not ever see Jesus. Okay, so that's why we do these things. And then lastly is giving. We talk about giving every single week because it's so important, and giving is part of what we do as the body of Christ. We give faithfully so that we can see things happen in the body of Christ. We give faithfully so that we can, in fact, be a light to a world of darkness. We give faithfully because we are also called to do it biblically. We've got many ways for you to give. We've got the big yellow giving box out there. We've got cash and check. We've got the Tithely app. We've got all the things. So thank you to those of you who give faithfully. This thing can't happen without the people that give faithfully to SBC. So thank you for that. With that, we're going to go ahead and pray, and then we are going to get started into this message. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for everything that you are in our lives. We thank you for blessing on blessing on blessing. We thank you for everything, God. God, we just want to embrace your presence in this place, and we pray that you would open hearts, open minds, get us out of the way and speak through me today. Get us out of the way and speak to our hearts today. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would just make its presence known in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Welcome to everybody joining us online. We're so grateful that you're joining us here this morning. And I'm going to go ahead and get started by asking a question, as I usually do. How many of you in this room have ever tried to grow something? Yep, I know Jane back here in the back. She's the one who leads our jail ministry. I was thinking about her when I was preparing this message because she is not going to be able to relate with me when I say this. But when I go to the store, like at Sam's Club, they've always got these like beautiful plants and beautiful flowers. And I look at them and I'm like, man, it would be so cool for me to buy that and take it home and grow it, right? The problem is that I've tried doing this numerous times, and it never ends well, right? One time when I was younger in my 20s or something like that, I don't know exactly how old I was, but I tried to grow some tomato plants, right? And my grandma always grouped amazing gardens, and, you know, I'm like, let me try my hand at growing a tomato plant. That tomato plant never stood a chance, okay? It never stood a chance. And recently, I bought some flowers from some random fundraiser. My wife sent me this link, like, hey, let's do this. I'm like, okay, cool. So we bought these flowers, and I went outside, Friday or Thursday or sometime this last week, and I looked at one of these flower plants sitting on the ground, and it just looked pitiful. Right, it was dried out, and I don't know how that happened because it's been raining like the rainforest around here. But it was dried out, it was withered up, it wasn't looking good. Basically, the flower that I had bought, it wasn't bearing the fruit that I had hoped that it was going to bear when I bought it. Right, and as I was trying to save this plant's life, by the way, I did. But as I was trying to save this plant's life, I'm watering it, I'm maneuvering it into some direct sunlight. I thought about the fact that this non-fruit-bearing plant reflects an awful lot of us who call ourselves Christians. Today, we're going to wrap up our sermon series called Christian-ish. And if you're new today, maybe today is your first time here, you're like, what the heck is Christian-ish? Christian-ish is having a half-hearted faith. It's claiming to have faith in Jesus in order to reap the benefits of Jesus without fully committing to following Jesus and making him Lord over your life. A lot of people that call ourselves Christians can actually probably relate to this, right? A lot of people say they believe in God. A lot of people go to church on Sunday mornings. But a lot of those people, just like my stupid tomato plants and my flowers, they don't produce the fruit that they were meant to produce. And not only do they not display the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control, not only do they not display the fruits of the Spirit, a lot of the times the people that call ourselves Christians display the exact opposite. Those of us who call ourselves Christians are sometimes downright mean. We're rude. We're arrogant. We're judgmental and even hypocritical. There's plenty of people that would call themselves Christians. There are many of us that would call ourselves Christians, but when we actually look at our lives, we're just kind of like withered up leaves on a dying flower plant or dry soil. Amen, Pastor. I'd be willing to bet that everybody in this room and everybody tuning in online is sitting here saying, yeah, you know what? I know somebody like that. I know somebody like that. They claim to be a Christian, but when you look at their life doesn't really mimic what they're saying with their mouth. I'd say that we probably all know someone like that. And maybe they're even here with you, but keep your eyes up here. You don't want to look left or right now like, oh, I seen that. You're in the doghouse. But we all know somebody like that, right? And I would even say that maybe if we were closer to the end of my sermon right now, it's a little too early to say maybe that person is you. Like maybe I would ask you that question. Is it you? I'm not going to ask that question. It's too early. We're not there yet. But maybe later. God's word is living, right? God's word is sharp. It's active. It's relevant. And God's word never returns to us void. God's word is absolute truth. And the reason I say that is because God's word tells us that our lives should, unlike my tomato plants, unlike the flowers that I tried to kill, right? Our lives should bear fruit. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, if you're new to church, I'm not talking about the type of fruit that you eat. I'm not talking about pears. I'm not talking about apples or tomatoes. And yes, tomatoes are fruits, which brings me to the question, is ketchup a smoothie? I don't know. I'll let you marinate on that for a minute. I'm just saying, if a tomato's a fruit, anyway, ADD. So Jesus tells us in the book of John very specifically what we're talking about here. So let's look at John chapter 15, verses 5 and 8. It says this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do," what's that word? "Nothing," right? Verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So basically what Jesus is saying here is that in order for us to show our devotion to him, it would be that our lives would bear spiritual fruit, and that would be a reflection of him and our lives to the world. That we literally show the world that we are followers of Jesus by the fruits displayed in our lives. But it gets even better than that. Jesus tells us that people will know that we are committed to him simply by that fruit that we display in our lives. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. "By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." This is an amazing metaphor that Jesus gives us here. Jesus tells us that we're like a tree. Can you put the tree pick up? I know I didn't tell you when to put that up, but can you put, there it is. Jesus tells us that we are like a tree, okay? A tree produces fruit. So what Jesus is saying here is that we show the darkness of this world the light of Jesus when they see the spiritual fruit that our lives bear. Not just the words that you say, but the actions that you display. In other words, they won't know you, they won't only know you by what you say, but they'll know you by how you live. You don't just claim Jesus, but the fruits of the Spirit reflect Jesus in your day-to-day life. Every day that you walk this earth, you display spiritual fruit. And we all know somebody like this, right? Like, there's people in this room this morning that are just those people that just display joy in their lives. Like, you see them coming towards you and you're happy. There's people in this room that just, they have an aura of love, right? There's people in this room that just speak peace. When they speak into your life, your heart becomes calm. And it's because of the way that they live. The way that they live shows Jesus. Now, these people are not perfect people, but you're drawn to them because they live like Jesus. You're drawn to them because they care about people like Jesus cared about people. You're drawn to them because they love people the way that you love people. These are the type of people that are committed to serving like Jesus was committed to serving. These people put the fruits of the Spirit on full display in their lives every single day. And these are the people that we're drawn to. I think we've all got people like that in our lives. And I know for a fact that there are people like that in this very building this morning. But on the flip side of that coin, this is where it gets a little dicey. There are people that call ourselves Christians. We can even quote all the scripture. We might know the Greek and the Hebrew. We might know all the original text, but we're not who we say we are. We don't have that type of integrity. that what we do in our lives doesn't match what we say with our mouths. Sometimes there are those of us who say that we're Christians, but yet we're extremely rude to other people. We're extremely selfish and we're harsh. So here's the question. When others look at you, what do they see? What do they see? Does the fruit of your life reflect the words of your mouth? Does the way that you treat people reflect the love that Jesus has for you and those people? Does the way that you respond in high-pressure situations, when you're stressed out, when you're anxious, does the way that you respond in those situations reflect the fact that you are, in fact, a Christ follower? Does your ability to forgive people who have done you wrong? Ooh, hold on, Pastor. We can't talk about that one. Does your ability to forgive reflect the fact that you follow Jesus? Or do they see the fruit that reflects anything other than love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or self-control? Are they the fruits of the Spirit? Or are your fruits more like my pitiful tomato plant that never stood a chance? Many of us say that we're Christian, but we're not really caring. Many of us say that we're Christian, but we don't got time for other people. I'm too busy, bro. Many of us say that we're Christian, but we're downright unkind and inconsiderate. In the book of Galatians, we have a very detailed list of the fruits of the Spirit, and there are 9 of them. Does anybody in the room know them by heart? A show of hand. Wow. Okay, cool. There's 2. Good. No worries. That's what I'm going to tell you. That's what I'm here for. Thanks for coming to church. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So these are the fruits of the Spirit. But we also have what the Apostle Paul would call the fruits of the flesh. So the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that we live our lives from one of 2 places. We live our lives from the fruit of the Spirit or from the fruits of the flesh. Okay? So if you're a follower of Jesus, if you are born again through Christ Jesus, your spirit is in fact born again, right? You are a new person because of Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus and you accept Jesus as your Savior, your spirit is now connected to Jesus. The problem is that our spirit is in a 24/7 battle with our flesh. Now, when the Apostle Paul talks about this whole idea that we are in a battle with our flesh, he's not talking about like our physical flesh. He's talking about our nature that is not spiritual. Basically, your flesh wants you to do what you want to do. Your flesh wants you to indulge in all the things. Your flesh wants you to do anything except what God tells you to do. That's what your flesh wants. So let's look at both here. We're going to look at fruits of the Spirit and fruits of the flesh. And I want you to ask yourself a question as we go through these, if you're more aligned with the fruits of the Spirit or the fruits of the flesh. So the first one is this: loving. Loving is a fruit of the Spirit. Are you loving? Are you somebody who somebody comes to when they're in a tough place and they just need to feel loved on? Are you that person that just has an aura of being a loving person, or are you displaying the fruit of the flesh? Are you selfish? I don't got time for your problems, bro. I got my own, okay? I don't got time for you. It's me, me, me. It's what I need. YOLO. I got to get what I got to get, and it's all about me. Are you loving, which is the fruit of the Spirit, or are you selfish, which is a fruit of the flesh? The next one that we have here is the joy being fruit of the Spirit. As we mentioned earlier, we've all got people in our lives that you just they just got that thing. It's almost like that it factor, right? That when they come into your presence, they just make things better because they've got the joy of the Lord in their hearts. Is that you? Or are you more aligned with the fruit of the flesh? Are you frustrated all the time? Are you just walking around in a perpetual state of frustration? You're angry. Nothing's ever right. That is a fruit of the flesh. The next one that we have here is peace. Peace is, in fact, a fruit of the Spirit. Do you have a peace about your life? Even when things are tough and things aren't looking like you think they should, are you able to be calm and say that I know that my Father loves me and I know that He has a plan even in the midst of this messiness? Do you have peace, or are you perpetually anxious? Now, don't get me wrong. Let's just side note here. There is clinical anxiety. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about here is that you are always worried about the next step, not trusting God to be in that step with you. Is that you, or do you have His peace? The next one that we look at here is patience. Lord, give me patience. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I struggle here sometimes. I'll get to me. I'm going to read my own mail here in a minute. I'm not just yelling at you guys. But patience. Are you patient? Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Or are you impatient? I don't got time for your mistakes. If you don't get it right, get out of here. I don't want to work with you. No grace, no nothing. It's all about get it right or get out. Can't put up with the person in front of you going not 5 over the speed limit. Where have we heard that before? Are you patient? Do you have the fruit of the Spirit? Or is it the fruit of the flesh? Do you tend to be kind? Or do you tend to be uncaring? Are you nice to people just generally? Are you kind in your interactions? Or are you uncaring? I don't got time for you. Not my monkey, not my circus. I don't care what you do. I don't care about that. The next one that we look at here is goodness. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. Are you good? Now, none are good. Don't get me wrong. But do you have goodness in your life? Or do you bear bad fruit, meaning bad attitude? Do you have a bad mouth? Do you have bad fruit in your life? Is it overall just bad? Fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the flesh. Or do you tend to be, the next one is faithful. Are you a faithful person? Do you have faith in God? Do you have faith in what He's doing in your life? Do you show faith to the people around you? Can they trust you? Or are you disloyal to the people around you and to your relationship with Christ? At the first sight of something going wrong, you're running the other way. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, and disloyalty is a fruit of the flesh. How about the next one? Gentle or harsh? Man, we could talk about that one for a whole sermon, I think. Are you gentle? Are you somebody that somebody can trust to come to when things aren't looking good for them? And maybe even somebody who can bring something to you that they've wronged you with. Are you that person? Or are you harsh? Are you going to respond harshly to people? Fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the flesh. And then the last one is self-control. Do you have self-control? Can you resist the eternal temptation that we face in our lives? Because it's constant. It's 24/7. There is always something there. Do you have self-control, or are you indulging in these things? Indulging would be a fruit of the flesh. These are all examples of fruits of the flesh versus fruits of the Spirit. The question that I have for you is, where do you fall in this range of comparison? Where on the spectrum are you? Do you find yourself aligning more with the fruits of the Spirit or with the fruits of the flesh? Remember I told you I was going to read my own mail? I'm going to do that right now. And this might be hard for some of you to hear, but I can see myself in both of those from time to time. You might be thinking, well, you're a pastor. You can't say that. You can't say you indulge, or you can't say that you fall victim to the fruits of the flesh. Well, I just did. So there. Because it's true. There are times in my life where I'm very impatient with my wife. Very impatient. There are times when I yell when I shouldn't. There are times where I let the stress and anxiety of my life drown out the joy of Jesus in my life. There are times when I don't have the self-control that I should. Really? You're a pastor. How can you say that? Well, I am a pastor, and I firmly believe that part of the reason that people have left the church the way that they have is because we try to pretend that pastors aren't people too. And let me just tell you a truth, that if you've got any ounce of faith in me, you've already taken the wrong step. Because I'm just up here because Jesus called me up here. I'm not up here because I'm any better than you. I'm up here because God told me to be up here. So, Pastor, why do you gotta air that out up here? Because I want you to know that if you were reading those lists and you're like, oh, man, that's me. Me too, bro. You're not alone. You're not alone. If we're honest with ourselves, we can all see ourselves in both of those. Sometimes we're going to display the fruits of the Spirit, but sometimes we're going to display the fruits of the flesh. And don't hear what I'm not saying. The fruits of the flesh should not be the norm. That's not okay. It shouldn't be the norm. But the reality is that sometimes it will be the exception. If all you experience in your life are the fruits of the flesh, then it's time maybe we have a different conversation. But sometimes we are going to experience the fruits of the flesh because we are flawed and broken people. Now, here's my problem. When I experience the fruits of the flesh, when I give in to my flesh, I've always got an excuse in mind. Like when I get upset, when I lose my patience, when I maybe yell, I'm stressed out, okay? I'm doing a lot. I'm busy all the time. It's to be expected that sometimes I'm going to have a little bit of a blowout, right? No, that's not right at all. Because every time I produce bad fruit, I want to justify it. But you know what? When you produce bad fruit, it's on you. You need to do better. For me, it's justified. For you, I'm judging. Can anybody relate to that? I think we can. But if you're anything like me and you give yourself an out for the bad fruit situations, I need you to know this. If you belong to Jesus and you're connected to the vine, there is no excuse for bad fruit. There's no excuse for bad fruit if you're connected to Jesus. Now, Jesus talks about this, and I love how Jesus is such a savage when he says this. And I mean that because Jesus can say hard truths in a loving way, and that's why I say it's savage, right? I love how he says it. He talks about the fact that people are wolves in sheep's clothing. And if you're new to church, Jesus is referring to people that say they were followers of Jesus, but really they aren't. Maybe you could even call them Christian-ish. And to be very clear, I don't think that most people that would fall into this wolves in sheep's clothing are setting out to fool you or me. I don't think they're setting out intentionally to do this. Now, for sure, some are. Some are actively trying to deceive people. But I think more often than not, they're not trying to fool you, but they're fooling themselves. These are the people that say things like, yeah, man, I do the church thing. I live a Christian life. I could say Christian-ish. But what they're doing, what we experience when we hear these things coming from people that are living this type of lifestyle, is that they're dressing up their flesh to make it appear that they're living a life that they're not. People live lives that produce bad fruit so frequently, but then they dress it up to try to make bad fruit look like good fruit. Whew. Sometimes we learn how to talk the talk, right? What do you guys know what I mean by that? One time when I was studying my associate's degree, I had to write a paper, and I wrote it from a very, very, and this was not a Christian, I was just working on my associate's through Ashland. It wasn't a Christian program. And I wrote this paper from a very Jesus-centric perspective. And I got dinged on the paper. I got it back, and it was like a C paper or something like that, because my professor told me that I was speaking Christianese in this paper. And when I was thinking about the fact that we as Christians sometimes learn how to talk the talk, that came to mind. That we speak Christianese to make bad fruit look like good fruit. Well, what does that sound like? Sounds like, good morning, brother. Good to see you. How you doing? Blessed by the best. Hallelujah, brother. Jesus answers an email. He don't answer email. How you doing today? Praise Jesus. God is good all the time. God is good. We learn to speak the speak. We talk the talk. But we're just trying to dress up our broken outward display with a fake inward change because it's not real. I've really been feeling like God is impressing on my heart that we need to step away from the normalcy of Sundays and get real with each other and remove this veil of this Christianese conversation that we have with each other. The body of Christ is meant to strengthen each other, not to deceive each other into thinking something about somebody that's not true. We learn to talk the talk. But then there's also a look, right? There's a look about Christians. We put on the Christian t-shirt. We change our social media bio to say, Jesus over everything. Christ is king. But really, many of us are just masters of disguise. We talk the talk, we walk the walk, we are masters of disguise. And you know what we do sometimes? Sometimes we disguise gossip as concern for other people. Sometimes in the church we do this weird thing where we disguise legalism for holiness. We dress up our flesh to make it look super spiritual. But I really need you to know something this morning. Jesus didn't call us to dress up the flesh. He called us to crucify it. He didn't call us to protect our flesh. Jesus called us to die to our flesh. He called us to reject our flesh. Jesus called us to abide in him. He is the vine. Jesus is the vine. And when we're actually connected to the vine like he calls us to be, the fruits of the Spirit just flow out naturally. I've mentioned this a couple of times throughout this series, but this is quite literally the hardest sermon series I've ever had to preach. This 4 weeks has been the hardest thing that I've ever had to do as a pastor, to get up here and talk about the fact that many of us are living a lifestyle that we call ourselves Christian, but really according to God's word, not according to me, because I'm nobody to judge you, but according to God's word, we would look at this and say, maybe we're not living the lifestyle that we're living. And I just want to acknowledge, this is hard, guys. It is. I get it. And I'm going to say it again. Try being on my end of the spectrum right now. Being on this end of the coin is a little bit harder. It's hard when God gets all up in our business. It's hard when the Holy Spirit starts tugging at your heart and saying, hey, bro, he's talking about you. And guess what? Preparing these sermons, sometimes the Holy Spirit's been tugging and saying, hey, bro, I'm talking about you. I'm no different than you. But these are hard. These are hard sermons to teach. It's hard to hear. And when we hear something like this, it's really easy for us to do this thing where we deflect it and we say, yeah, I know somebody who needs to hear this. I'm going to send them the link to the Facebook Live because they need to watch this sermon, right? It's really easy for us to process these truths by deflecting it to somebody else. What's really hard is to say, yeah, you know what? My whoever, they need to hear this. So do I. So do I. Hey guys, so do I. Me too. And you know why? Because it's really hard to see your own blind spots. It's really hard to sometimes see your own hypocrisy when you're staring yourself in the mirror. And it's even harder to see your hypocrisy when you're looking at other people's hypocrisy. So what I want to do is I want to ask a couple of questions that maybe can help us identify our blind spots. Here's the first one. It's a really good question. How pleased do you think God is with the quality of your fruit? Just sit on that for a second. When other people look at you at your job, not by the Christian t-shirt that you're wearing or the worship music that you pull up jamming to, but when they look at you by your fruit, would they know that you're a Christ follower? Or would it be a situation where you run into somebody at a Christian conference and you're both shocked to see each other there? That's awkward. What is the quality of your fruit? How pleased is God with your fruit? The second question that I would have us ask ourselves is, how pleased do you think God is with the quantity of your fruit? Kind of like my sad attempt at growing a tomato plant, is your life yielding no fruit at all? Or maybe you're producing some fruit, but it's few and far between, and it's just minimal, right? How pleased is God with the quality of your fruit? How pleased is God with the quantity of your fruit? So what does this even mean? Well, it means that we don't just love the people that sit on the same side of the political aisle as us. It means that we should be loving to all of God's children. I'm going to say this too, Republican, Democrat, black, white, straight, gay, transgender. Did I just say we're supposed to love transgender people in church? I did. We shouldn't be stingy with our love. We should be free with it. And let me be very clear, love is not affirmation. But love is showing even the people that might be living smack dab in the middle of sin that we love them because Jesus loves them too. And Jesus loves us. And we can show them love. That's why. It means that we shouldn't just be peaceful when things are going well. It means that goodness shouldn't only come from us when it benefits us. It means that the quality and quantity of our fruits, God is he good with it? Is he good with what you're producing? If we're supposed to be connected to the vine and we're supposed to produce fruit, my question for you is, what is that looking like in your life today? Maybe you're like, okay, cool, yeah, I need to do better in this area, so how do I do it? Many of you might say, well, the answer is obvious. The answer is that you would give your life to Jesus fully, that you would live for him fully, and then the fruit will come. That's one of those answers where you're like at Vacation Bible School, you're like, that's a good answer, Timmy, but it's not the right one, okay? Jesse's laughing because we went through that numerous times last week. But that is part of it, okay? That's part of the answer, but that's not it. Let's look at the words of Jesus from John chapter 15, verse 5. So just a little bit of background. It's very likely that they were at a vineyard here and that Jesus uses this vineyard as his illustration. John 15, 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, notice in this verse that other than being in the vine, other than being connected to Jesus, you have to do nothing except be connected to him, and your life will bear much fruit. That's what that verse just said. Why? Because it ain't about you, bro. It ain't about us. It's about him. What we see in this verse is a conditional promise. It's a conditional covenant. We talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago. If we do this, then Jesus will do that. In this verse that we just read, we read this to start, but Jesus ends with a very powerful reminder where he says, listen, if you're not connected to me, you can do what? Nothing. So in this verse we just read, we see a couple of things taking place, right? We see Jesus and we see us. So we see Jesus say, Jesus is the vine and you are the branch. Jesus is the vine and you are the branch. There it is. Cool. That was my fault, not theirs. Okay. Jesus is the vine and you are the branch. Now, I want you to say this with me, okay? And what we're going to do is I want you to personalize this. So I'm going to change it a little bit. I want you to put the next one up there. I want you to personalize it and I want you to say it like this with me. Say, Jesus is the vine. Okay, let's do the count of three. One, two, three. Jesus is the vine. I am the branch. See, Jesus is the vine. We are the branch. So what happens when the branch is connected to the vine? It produces fruit. That's your answer. That's it. It's not complicated. Your answer is that you would be connected to Jesus. When you're connected to Jesus, you bear fruit. It's that simple. God's word just showed us it's that simple. Now, we mentioned relationship with Jesus. So I have to have a relationship with Jesus. Obviously, the branch has a relationship with the vine, but it goes well beyond relationship. The branch is absolutely, totally, literally, completely dependent on the vine for everything. The branch is sustained by the vine. The only way that that branch can live is through the vine. Let me illustrate this for you. This is really weird, by the way. This illustration, I don't know why I'm doing this, but let's pretend that you could talk to a baby in the womb, okay? Track with me. I know it sounds weird, but just pretend there's a super duper smart baby and you could talk to this baby in the womb. So you go, hey, yo, baby. And baby's like, yo, what's up, right? And you're like, yo, baby, do you have a relationship with your mom? And remember, this baby is extremely smart, okay? This baby is like next level smart. Obviously, you're talking to it in the womb. It's got to have superpowers or something. But the baby's going to look at you and be like, bruh, relationship? You're asking if I have a relationship with my mom? It's so much more than that. She breathes, I breathe. She eats tacos, I eat tacos. Baby's going to say, listen, I'm only living because of her. Relationship? Nah, bro. We're connected. I'm dependent on her. I know it's a little bit goofy, but this is the exact same thing that Jesus is trying to tell us. He says this 11 times in this chapter alone in order to make sure that we are getting it right. The Greek word that he uses here is meno. Meno, it means remain, abide, dwell, live in. 11 times he mentions this, and I'm not talking about in the whole book, but in this chapter alone, Jesus says that you gotta remain connected to the vine of life if you wanna produce fruit. John 15:4 says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Every time that he says the word remain in that verse, it's the Greek word meno. He's telling us very, very plainly that we are to remain in the vine, that we are to abide in love, that we are to dwell in the presence of Jesus. So then we remain in him, and then we live for him, right? That would be right? It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right at all, because if you start to do that, you abide in him, and then you live for him, where's the focus? It's on me, right? If you're trying to live for Jesus, you're focusing on what you can do. You're focusing on your deeds. You're focusing on your works. This is where so many of us get it wrong, guys. This is why so many people live a Christian-ish lifestyle, because we believe in him, but the focus is on us. I've got to stop this. I've got to stop that. I've got to produce fruit. I've got to stop cussing. I've got to stop watching this. I've got to stop going there. I've got to me. And we never get it right. And we see Jesus quite literally telling us, don't focus on the production. Focus on the connection. Stay connected to the vine. Abide in the vine. Stay in the presence of Jesus. If you stay connected to the vine, you will produce fruit. Have you ever seen a tree trying to grow fruit? Can you imagine what that would look like? I'm not going to do it. But I can imagine in my mind. Like, what if a tree was trying to grow fruit? They don't have to try. There's no effort involved. Why? Because the branches stay connected to the vine and they produce fruit. So what's the assignment for today? Your assignment for today is this. Be the branch. That's our assignment. Be the branch. Abide in Jesus. Stay connected to him. And then you bear fruit. So how do I be the branch? Well, there's two parts to that. First and foremost, you know him. You talk to him, you pray, you read his word, you obey his word, you go to church, you serve, you tithe, you go to Bible study, you get baptized if that's your next step. You do all these things, but Pastor Ronnie, you just said don't focus on the production, right? I did, because there's another layer of it. Paul gives us 9 fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:24. And then he immediately says this in Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So what does that mean? It means that when we die to the flesh, we live in the Spirit. We live by the Spirit, and we keep in step, meaning we are walking so closely to Jesus that we don't take a single step that isn't directed by him. That's what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. Do you identify more with the fruits of the flesh or with the fruits of the Spirit? As the band starts to play, I want to ask you these questions again. Do you identify more with the fruits of the flesh or with the fruits of the Spirit? And I want to ask you again, what is the quality of your fruit? What is the quantity of your fruit? Are you connected to the vine? Are you abiding in him? Are you being the branch? Or are you just around him? You're just experiencing it when it's convenient and comfortable for you. Are we abiding in the one that gave it all so that we could live? Are you connected to the branch today? What does your fruit look like? I want to encourage all of you to be the branch. That we would produce spiritual fruit. That you could be that person that when you're coming towards somebody, they just know that you've got the fruits. You're joyous, you're kind, you've got self-control, you're loving, you're patient, you have peace, you have goodness. And that just with your witness and not just the words that you speak, that you could be a light to a world that needs it so badly. Will you be the branch? Will you abide in him? Be the branch. Stand to your feet this morning. We're getting ready to do baptisms here this morning. And if anybody in this place here this morning says, look, man, the whole time you were preaching, I wasn't listening because I was distracted by the fact that I needed to get baptized. That's one time I'll accept you not listening to me. If that's you, if you need to get baptized, you can do that right now. If you're female and you want to get baptized, you can go right up here and go up these stairs. If you're a male, you can go up here and go up these stairs. If that's something that the Lord's telling you you need to do, there'll be people to receive you there and help you and get you some clothes. If you want to do that, the door is open. You feel free to do that. If not, it's totally fine too. But we're going to do some baptisms. But before we do that, I just want to ask everybody to close your eyes and bow your heads. I just want to talk to you for a minute. Guys, I think we put so much focus on ourselves, getting it right for Jesus. And while we have to be obedient, don't hear what I'm not saying, we have to be obedient to his call. It is not about what we can do to get it right for Jesus. The only thing that we can do is to be connected to him, to abide in the vine. That's our goal. And then the fruits flow freely. But that first step is the fact that you have to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior to be able to experience these fruits of the Spirit that we've been talking about here this morning. And if you don't know Jesus, it's a simple process. You say, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I'm a sinner. I fall short. God's word says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us, the Bible says that our righteousness is of filthy rags. None of us are good enough short of Jesus. And if you've never experienced a relationship with him today, I just want to tell you that it's as easy as saying, yes, Jesus, I trust you, Jesus, and I want you to abide in me as I abide in you. That's it. I can't do it for you. It's a decision that you have to make on your own. But if that's you in this place this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I need you to pray for me. Can you raise your hand for me just so I can pray for you? Just so I can pray for you. Nobody's going to come to you or embarrass you. Nobody's going to... I see your hand. I see your hands. I see your hand. We're going to pray for you. And I pray that you take that next step that's needed. And we would love for anybody who's raising their hand right now to stop by the Connect counter and let us get some information from you so that we can walk beside you as you take your next steps. You can put your hands down. If anybody in this place says, yeah, you know what? I have a relationship with Jesus. I love Jesus, but I think I've been living a little bit more on the Christian-ish side than I care to admit. And I haven't been abiding in the vine, and I haven't been putting God first. And maybe I've been living a little bit of a comfortable Christianity lifestyle. I want you to raise your hands for me so I can pray for you. Listen, I think, if I'm being honest, I think everybody's hand should be up, but don't let me tell you what to do, because that's me. My hand's up. Guys, we fall short daily. Living a Christian-ish lifestyle is living with a half-hearted faith to get the benefits of Jesus without fully making him Lord of your life. And I think we all fall victim to that. You know what? You're in the perfect place, because the church is a hospital for hurting believers. And if you think you need to get it right, come on back and we'll get it right together. Come on out to Bible study. We'll get it right together. Come on out to young adults. We'll get it right together. Come on out to youth group. We'll get it right together. That's what we're here for, church. That's why we're here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you loved us enough to send your son before we ever even cared that you did it. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for those of us that were real enough and said, hey, I live a Christian-ish lifestyle sometimes, and I need your help to fix it. God, I pray that we would focus on the fruit, that we would not focus on the production, but that we would focus on the connection. I pray that we would abide in you. I pray that we would walk in step with the Spirit. I pray that we would be real with you because you know us anyway. I pray that you would change our hearts. I pray for a revival. I pray that we would, that through us, you would change this community. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship together as we prepare for baptisms.